All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this month's Binge Support Group Coaching Call. I am so excited to be here with you guys today. If you do not know me, my name is Jane Pilger. I am also known as Corinne's bestie. So if you ever hear Corinne talking about Marco Poloing with her bestie, that is me. I also am a coach. I have my own coaching business, Jane Pilger Coaching. You can find me at janepilger.com. I am also the host of the Binge Breakthrough podcast. I love talking about all things binge eating. And the reason is that I know it so well. Binging is something that has been a part of my life for a long time. My very first binge was my very first semester in college. And, I really thought I was broken. I thought there was something wrong with me. I did not understand why I did what I did with food. And I am here to tell you that I am a different person. I completely understand what I do with food. I completely understand. I am not broken. You are not broken. Nobody is broken when it comes to their relationship with food. And it really is my passion to help people know and understand that they are not broken. So I am so glad that you are here, whether you are here with us live or whether you are watching or listening on the replay. It is, I trust that you are going to hear something today that is going to be impactful for you. Whether it is something that I say directly, whether it is something that you hear in the coaching that we are going to be doing today, I trust that you are going to hear something that literally is going to be, maybe it will be a breakthrough for you. Maybe it will be a new insight, new awareness. Listen for this. Put your brain to work on what you are going to hear that you can take and apply into your everyday life. I love that you are here. I love that you are listening to me. But what I really want is for you to take what you hear and put it into your life, into your own practice. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to talk to you for just a few minutes about exercise and how exercise may or may not impact binge eating. And we're talking about this today because May is Movement Month here in No BS. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit. And I also want to open the space up for anyone who wants coaching on the topic of binge eating. It does not have to be related to exercise. As long as it is related to binge eating in any way, you are game for being coached. So go ahead and raise your hand. I will absolutely coach as many people as we can today. Also, if you have any questions, let's say you don't want to raise your hand, you don't want to be pulled up to be coached, but you have questions. If you do, type them into the Q&A. If you are here live, Coach Betsy is here in the chat. She is supporting you there. But if you have questions for me specifically, put them in the Q&A box. And if you want to raise your hand to be coached, raise your hand and we will do that. All right. So the question, the topic, how does exercise relate to binge eating, or does it? And I would say the exercise itself does not really impact whether you are binging, what you are eating. Just like you learn within No BS, it is not the exercise itself. It's going to be when you exercise, do you think differently about food? So there's kind of two areas that I want to explore. Number one is, do you think differently about food when you exercised or when you haven't exercised? So for example, some people might think, I exercise, therefore I deserve to eat. I earned eating XYZ because of this thing that I did with my body. I moved my body. Maybe I broke a sweat, or I went and I walked around the block, or I did this thing I don't usually do. Therefore now I deserve to eat. This is very common thinking. This type of thinking can certainly lead to additional eating behaviors that we may or that we may not want, that may not be kind of in line with where we're trying to go with our overall goals and visions for ourselves. So that's one area where I can kind of see the way that we're thinking about exercise, whether what we did, Sometimes people might even think, oh, well, I haven't exercised enough to be able to eat that much food, right? So it's kind of like using the exercise, the existence of exercise, or the intensity of exercise to be the indicator of then how much or what types of food a person should or shouldn't eat. And so I think that's where that can kind of be a slippery slope. Whether you are exercising or not, your body really will tell you. Like, exercise does not negate or change anything about listening to your body and tuning in to your signals, your hunger signals, your signals of enough. All of those are still relevant when you are exercising. Now, is it true that if you go and you go do something that does generate a lot of activity in your body, let's say you go for a run, is it true that you might have increased hunger? Is it true that if you go for a swim, you might notice you feel more hungry? Yes, that may well be. Exercising does sometimes take additional energy. And if that's the case, we still just listen to our bodies. So we don't have to kind of like let the existence of the exercise indicate whether we are going to eat or not. We just pay attention to what our body is telling us. The other thing that can happen, I know this happens for me as somebody who exercises quite a bit. I would say I'm more of an athlete. Like, I consider myself to be an athlete. I think there can be a bit of a difference between an exerciser, somebody who, gets movement in for a regular basis for health and to feel good and to get blood flow. And then you have somebody who is more of an athlete who prioritizes various things, racing, that type of thing. We could get into the details about that, but that is beyond the point of this conversation. But I will tell you, sometimes for me, this is, and even before I was an athlete, I will say that where my exercise did impact my binge eating was that sometimes I was exercising to a level that I needed to eat more food and I was not eating enough for my energy level. And so I would often think like, oh, don't eat too much. And I would be ignoring the signals of my body. My body was very clearly giving me signals that I was not eating enough, and I was ignoring them because I was trying not to eat too much for fear of gaining weight, for fear of binging. But what happened was, when I don't eat enough, when any of you do not give yourself enough caloric, just the general basic needs of your body will force them. So that has happened to me. Still, I will tell you, still to this day, there are times where if I am exercising a lot and I am not, for whatever reason, it's to me right now, when it happens now, it's unintentional. It's like unintentionally, I don't eat enough food. Then I realize if I get caught up in the, oh my gosh, I'm eating too much, don't eat too much, I can set myself up where my body is kind of trying to force extra food, as opposed to literally me just listening to the signals of my body. Now, the very Cliff Notes version of all of this is that the amount of exercise and whether you exercise or not does not really matter. What always and forever matters is that you pay attention to your body signals. You pay attention to your hunger. You pay attention to your fullness. And then you're aware, what additional thoughts do I have when I'm exercising or when I'm not that might impact either the levels of what I'm eating or my ability or willingness to follow my hunger and fullness signals. Okay. All right. Let's see. We've got some Q&A here. Raise your hand if you would like to be coached and we will get to it. Okay. So Kirsty says, I find I have the opposite effect. When I don't work out, I tend to binge more and fuck it eat because I think if I didn't work out, the day is shot. How can I work through this? Well, this is a great question. And you've identified exactly the thought that is getting it. If I didn't work out, the day is shot. So this is very clear black and white thinking. Black and white thinking is so common for people who binge. It's kind of like, oh, well, and we can hear it here. I didn't work out, my day is shot, I might as well binge. It's like, this is the equivalent, this is like the workout equivalent of, well, I ate one cookie, I wasn't going to eat dessert, now my day is shot, I might as well binge. Your day is not shot if you work out or not. Your day is not shot if you have a cookie when you said you weren't going to or not. It's the idea, it's the interpretation, oh, now my day is shot. So it starts with you deciding that when you don't work out, your day is shot. Like, what else could be true? What else could be true is, oh, I decided not to work out today, and that's fine. It's fine. I'm fine. I don't have to adjust anything else today. Maybe I just get curious and notice, how is it different? Well, how do I physically feel different? So one of the things I talk about a lot is shifting from shame and judgment into curiosity. We can't get curious about our behaviors. We can't get curious about what's different if we're in shame or judgment about ourselves. Right now, when you're saying my day is shot, I didn't work out, my day is shot, you're actually judging yourself. You're judging yourself and you're judging your day. So what we can do is we can get curious about, huh, okay, so I didn't work out today. What do I notice? What do I notice about the days that I don't work out versus the days that I do? So get curious about that. And how is it not true that your day is shot that when you don't exercise? Come up with for yourself, come up with 10 reasons that it's actually, it could be a good thing. For some people, you sound like somebody who may kind of force yourself to work out like all the time. Now, I don't know this. All I know is from your post. But you need to know yourself to know, do you force yourself to work out all the time? Or are you somebody like, what is your relationship with exercise? Does the existence of exercise mean a good day or a bad day? You can see how where your thinking is about one thing, it's going to show up in other areas of your life. So this is such a beautiful example that you're thinking about your exercise. It's shot. I might as well binge. Probably is showing up in other areas. It's showing up with your eating too. Oh, well, I didn't follow my plan. Oh, I didn't do this. I might as well binge. So this is where you can get really curious and see how you can apply it to other places. Okay, when I'm running, I'm ravenous. I plan my food. And once I start, it's all day. I'm then triggered all day. So Danielle, I would get curious about whether you are eating enough for your body. So sometimes if you literally are feeling ravenous, that you can experiment with timing of food, you can experiment with different types of food. But if you are literally ravenous, that is a very good sign. Even just that word, it's a good sign you may not be giving yourself enough fuel for your body. Karen says, how do you plan for your daily meals on workout days so you don't overeat or binge, but get enough, especially if workouts change day to day, cardio versus weights, etc.? So, again, this is going to be, as far as planning your meals on workout days, if you are, now I don't know the level of workout that you're doing, so this kind of will depend. For many people, the level of workout that you're doing may or may not impact how much more you need to eat. So again, this is where you really do have to check in with your body. Be willing to check in with your body. Be willing to, one thing you can do is you can experiment with different things. You can experiment, be willing to add more if you need more. When you finish and you're like, oh, I'm still hungry. Okay, I'm going to add this additional thing. Those are ways that you can kind of experiment with it. I feel when I do work out, I do my plan as normal, but then I get hungrier towards afternoon. I work out in the morning, I get hungrier, and on my plan, I didn't put more food. Should I add more food when I work out versus non-workout days? That's certainly a possibility. You can do that, like knowing that you get hungrier on those days. If you have the data, I get hungrier on days when I work out, I see that it happens in the afternoon. Absolutely, I would plan that in. Just know, like, yeah, I may well get hungry. Here's something else for some of you, depending, again, this all depends on the type of workouts you do. So for me, I do a lot of cardiovascular, endurance type of training. I'm a triathlete. I run, I swim, I bike, I lift weights, I do all the things. I often, my hunger levels actually spike sometimes on my off day, on my rest day, because that's the day that my body is actually rebuilding. And it's like rebuilding and replenishing. I used to think I should not be as hungry on this day because I'm off. I'm not actually exercising. So I had a hard time like making that switch to really understanding, oh, actually my body is rebuilding, it does make sense that I'm more hungry on days that I don't exercise. So this is again where you literally have to be willing to listen to what your body is telling you. If your body is, don't just eat just because you worked out. If your body is telling you, hey, we're hungry, hey, we're like, and your body is communicating to you, that's when you make the difference. You make the adjustment. Sometimes you notice these things after the fact, then you can turn around and be like, oh, okay. Now I know that on my days off, it's like, okay, I know chances are my body, well, I know that my body is in rebuild and replenishment mode. And so I no longer go into those days thinking, we didn't work out, like, don't eat too much. I'm just thinking, I am rebuilding, I am resting. I might be really hungry today. And if I am, I'm going to eat. Like, but I'm going to eat in ways that are connected. I'm going to eat in ways where I'm really paying attention, where I feel good. I'm not like totally disconnecting and binging and, you know, doing all that. It really is from this place of wanting to support my body so that I can give it what it needs to be as strong and as healthy as it can be. Okay, Karen says, I have issues with what my tracker says and what my body is saying. Mostly the shitty thought that I've done, that what I've done isn't enough, even if my body is saying, hey, that's enough. Especially now I'm doing a new exercise, trike riding. I don't have the stamina yet to go for half an hour. So far, it hasn't spilled into a binge. I can see this is not the way to view my efforts. Karen, if you want to raise your hand, we can kind of talk through that a little bit because I'm not in fully following what you say. Okay. How can I stop excusing my binging by the thoughts after the binge that I can't help it because I'm addicted? I'm not sure there are thoughts before or during the binge. It really is like Bill relates in the AA Big Book that for no reason at all, one relapses. And after the first or second drink, there is no control at all. This is such a great question. And this goes into the concept. Is sugar addiction a real thing? Is food addiction a real thing? Am I addicted? Sometimes I feel addicted. And how we kind of navigate that. Personally, I don't believe in sugar addiction for several reasons. I have done quite a bit of research on the concept, but without getting into the science and the research, here's the biggest thing that I want to say. Anytime we feel powerless over something, like with an addiction, right? It's like we feel powerless over whatever, insert food here, then we are giving our power away to that thing, to whether it's the food, whether it's the sugar, whether it's whatever. And I have seen way too many people feel powerless at some point, but then be able to shift in from their thinking, be able to shift into a new relationship with that type of food. It is often the thinking, I'm addicted, I'm powerless, I can't control myself. That thinking, we literally just set ourselves up to be powerless. So when we start, let's say you have a bite or two and you're just like, bah, forget it. See, I know I couldn't do it. We don't even give ourselves a chance. We're creating a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, does this mean that I do believe that certain foods do react in our bodies different ways, depending on whatever is in the food? There are different responses and our bodies do respond in different ways to different foods. But that does not mean that it is an addictive response. It doesn't mean that we can't control ourselves. There's a difference there. Now, if you choose, now I'm not here to tell anybody like, yes, you can totally, like, you should or you shouldn't eat things. You should or you shouldn't take things out of your diet. I'm just here to tell you, if you want a different relationship with any different food, it is totally possible for you. If you don't want that, that's okay. And that's possible for you too. But you kind of have a sense to yourself. You're saying, I'm excusing my binging because I'm saying I can't help it because I'm addicted. So it's kind of like this built-in excuse, right? Well, I'm addicted. I can't help it. We're giving our power away to that. what would it look like if it was, I have the power, I have the choice. You can eat anything you want. You may not always choose to, and that's a whole different story. But if you're thinking, I'm powerless, I'm addicted, I can't help it, literally then as soon as you start, as soon as you take a bite, any of you who think once I start, I can't stop, any of you who think that, as soon as you start, what are you going to do? You're going to keep eating until you like literally physically can't stop or until the food runs out. Because that's what you're creating with your mind. It is not the food. So for any of you who think, once I start, I can't stop, here is my challenge to you. My challenge to you is the next time you start eating something that you think you can't stop, see if you can't prove yourself wrong. You know what? Maybe I can stop. What would that look like? Maybe I can't. Maybe I'm wrong about this idea that I can't stop. Maybe I can. What would it look like if I did stop? Now, there may be a difference between I can't stop and I don't want to stop, but thinking I can't gives the food all the power. And I don't agree with that. You have the power. You have the power to stop, but thinking you don't and that you're addicted and that you're powerless, that's what keeps you in that place. Okay, let's do some coaching. Carrie, let's bring you on. Carrie's coming on. I think Carrie's coming on. Let's try again. All right, here comes Carrie.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
Sorry, I wasn't sure if I needed to join as a panelist or stay as attendee. This is my first coaching call, so thanks for having me.
Yay, of course. Glad you are here, and good for you for raising your hand.
Yeah, it's a brave step. I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, good for you. What can I help you with?
Well, thanks so much for talking on this topic. So I've been an exerciser and athletic my whole life. So a thought that I've been working through this last week is, why doesn't my body look like that? And so my binging has usually come as entertainment eating, you know, late at night. So I've been working on that, and it's actually gone down a lot in the last, since I became an OBS person and woman, but, I usually will go on what I call Walgreens runs, and I'll get the sweet and salty and alternate and teeter totter, but back and forth. So it won't just be like one thing, you know, like skinny pop, like popcorn, it'll be popcorn and then ice cream and then something else sweet and then something else sweet or salty, you know, and back and forth.
Yep.
But that's the thought that I've struggled with, is because I walk dogs every day. I'm a tour guide at a ballpark. I do Pilates and Zumba and play softball and all the things. Activity has always been a part of my life. So I'm like, why don't, you know, I look like that? Like, why doesn't my body reflect all my activity?
What does a body that reflects the activity that you do look like?
Someone who's more toned, less, you know, weight and fat around the abdomen, more toned legs, you know, and that's what I'm working through with thoughts right now.
So whenever we ask ourselves a question, there's a couple things we can do. One, we can kind of just get curious about, what do I think my body should look like? So you just answered, like, I think I should be more toned, I should have less fat, all these other things. Then the other thing we do is we answer the question. So why doesn't your body look the way you would like it to?
I think because I haven't yet practiced being consistent and intentional with food. And I know I've heard that common phrase, you can't outrun your fork, you know, and you can't out-exercise a bad diet. So I think my activity has always been consistent, but my eating habits haven't always. So as a new no BS woman, I know I need to give it more time to have, you know, practice in my eating habits so that my body will change over time. But that's the struggle I've been having, is why isn't my body changing shape? And we used to be really close to goal weight. I've run 3 full marathons and was like 2-3 pounds away from my goal weight. My body did look a lot different back then. And now in my 40s, I'm like, do I have to go back to that much cardio? Which I've been learning more about that recently too. Is that really what I need at this stage in my life? More cardio, more weights, you know, and all the things I'm trying to learn.
Yeah. It is a learning process. For sure, our bodies change. Our bodies change with age. I will tell everybody on this call, nobody's body is meant to be the same year after year and decade after decade. It is not how the human body is designed. And so if you are somebody who is saying, oh, I wish my body looked like it did 15, 20 years ago, or whatever, right? Comparing back to the past, there are so many options and so many possibilities for where you can go with your body, what you can do with your body, for sure. So many possibilities. But when we look back and we expect our body to be similar or the same, when the human body is just designed to change literally from day to day and month to month and year to year, like it's like this unrealistic expectation and fantasy that sets us up for all just constantly thinking it's not enough. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. So what we want to do, the brain is excellent at looking for what isn't there, what's not good, what is wrong, what is broken. What we want to do is we want to start looking for what's amazing. What's amazing about your body? What's amazing about what your body can do? What's amazing about what you're learning, what you're already shifting, what you want to learn more about? It's like you already know where you want to go, right? Like, I want to learn more about how to take care of my body. I love being healthy. I love being athletic. I love being, you know, I love this lifestyle. And I also want to figure out what that looks like in the best way for me as I get older. Like, oh, that's amazing. It's when we get to the, it's not enough. It doesn't reflect what I'm doing. I'm not, you know, I have too much fat. I want my body to change. It's like all of that is just feels like the lack and the insufficiency. So what we want to do is we want to find the sufficiency now, find what's amazing now. Because if you can't find what is amazing about your body right now, the exact size, shape, and body fat level, physical fitness level, everything. If you can't find what you like and appreciate about it now, when it changes in the future, it will not be enough then either. Everybody who's listening to this call probably has experience with like this idea of, oh, okay, when I insert X goal here, then it will be good, right? And you said you got really close to goal. Was that how, were you in sufficiency and wow, this is amazing at the time?
I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what changed?
I put on weight again and then I was, and then so the part that's hardest.
Well, why did I put on weight again? Yeah.
I got out of like a routine and I was in a different program then and went off that protocol and went into eating whatever, whenever I wanted. So the weight came back on.
But let's listen. If you were in pure sufficiency and amazing about it all, you would not have gone off protocol and started eating whatever, whenever, and put all of your weight back on. We all do this. So I'm not picking on you specifically. We all are like, oh yeah, when I did this thing and I lost the weight, it was so great. And I just want to get back there. But we don't realize we weren't fully in sufficiency and gratitude and all of the amazingness of it, or we would have stayed there. Or maybe it wasn't sustainable. And in that case, if it wasn't sustainable, then that's not something that works either.
That's absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got to start with sufficiency now. Sufficiency today. Sufficiency for your body. What it can do. What it looks like. Find all of the things that are amazing and incredible now. And know where you're going. Know what you want to create even more of. I want to learn more. I do want to, for my body to reflect maybe more in the way that I would like for it to. And here's the ways that I'm going to experiment with doing that. But I'm doing it from this place of like, my body's amazing right now. Because if you do it from a place of insufficiency, it's not enough. It doesn't reflect. It's not good enough. It's not going to last. And all bodies are athletic bodies. I also think there's this fallacy that only bodies that like would be on the cover of a magazine are like representatively reflective of a fit body, or a body that is active.
I've seen bodies of all sizes do amazing things out there on the course. And when I was doing 5Ks, half marathons, full marathons, sometimes larger bodies were great at endurance and passing by, runners that were more muscular and more lean and toned. And so you're right. I mean, I've seen athletic bodies of all different shapes and sizes.
Yeah. So you can also, I mean, another thing that's amazing to do is like, as you go just about your life, put your brain to work on, let me find evidence of athletic bodies in all shapes and sizes. Then maybe I will be more willing to accept this body, this athletic body in this shape. And if I decide to change it, and if I do want to do the things and I want to do some experimenting and I want to go learn more, I can totally do that. But I've got to start by appreciating this body and this size as an athletic body. And I can do that by appreciating other bodies in other sizes that are athletic bodies as well.
Okay. And I don't want to take up more time and allow other people to come on. But my last question, I put in the Q&A, but I've heard from different sources that it's very helpful / necessary for women to get 40 grams of protein in within 45 minutes of a workout. And I'm not typically hungry after a workout, no matter the exertion level. So what are your thoughts on that?
Personally, what I do is I will just have some sort of drink that has protein in it, whether it's a Fairlife chocolate milk with protein, or like a little protein, some sort of something to just get a little bit in if I'm not hungry. Because I do think there is value in getting protein in up right after a workout. It's just benefit for muscular repair and those types of things. Again, it kind of depends on your type of workout. That's a pretty high grams of protein in terms of, I haven't usually heard that amount. So I'm not here to comment on the exact number, but as far as like getting something in right away, that's easy, some sort of, whether it's a protein drink or a protein shake or a little bit of something to get something in is often the way that I do it.
Okay, good. Thank you so much for your time. I'll let someone else have a turn.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for raising your hand. All right. Okay. We are going to put her back to attendee. I'm going to answer another question, then we're going to pull Karen on. Okay, Amy says, I often go through a drive-through before or after work, and I have called this secret eating, even if I plan it. In the past, this is how I had many overeats. How do I change my mindset on feeling these secret eats as bad and morally wrong? If I plan it and don't overeat, I'm still struggling with fast food being bad and having to be done in secret. Well, Amy, I think you've identified it for yourself. Like, you're thinking that fast food is bad. So I guess my question to you would be, why is it bad? Why is fast food bad? Is it bad, like you shouldn't be eating it? What are you thinking about fast food being bad? And as far as secret eating goes, something that's really interesting, I think, that can be really curious to for anybody to think about who eats in secret. Who are you hiding from? This is what I want to know. Like, if you are a person who eats in secret, who are you hiding from? Ask yourself that question. Are you trying to hide from yourself? Are you hiding from other people? Do you not want other people to see? Who are you hiding from? So answer that question to yourself. And it's interesting that what you're asking, Amy, is super interesting, because you're like, okay, I'm planning it. So I'm not entirely hiding from myself because I'm putting it on my plan. But even if I plan it, I'm thinking that it's bad and it's morally wrong. It's coming from the idea that fast food is bad. I will tell you, there are so many people in this world who eat fast food. There are a lot of people in this world who do not eat fast food. Fast food is not good. It is not bad. But the first question would be what you're thinking about it. Like, why do you think it is so bad? And why do you think it needs to be done in secret? And who are you hiding from? What are you afraid of? Like, who are you afraid of catching you, finding you? And what do you think they might think? What's so interesting to me is, like, sometimes when we think we're hiding from ourselves, it's like, that's interesting, right? Because we really can't hide from ourselves. I think sometimes we try, but it's not really possible. But who are you hiding from? What are you afraid they might say, think, or do if they saw you? And what else might be possible? What do you think about, like, if you're going to fast food, what do you think about all the people who are there eating fast food? Like, what do you think about them and their eating of fast food? Those are questions you could ask yourself. All right, Ms. Karen, we are bringing you on to talk about... Okay, she's coming on. So Karen is saying she has issues with what her tracker says and her body is saying. So we're going to have her clarify.
Can you hear me and see me?
I can, yes.
I had not planned on getting coached tonight. My issue is, especially doing something new, first of all, I don't consider myself an exerciser. I was the kid who pretended to have a sprained ankle in high school to get out of cross country. Had a car crash, which made me have 7 years of physical therapy, which is just enforced exercise. I try to get in the gym, do a half hour, 45 minutes. So now I've started riding a tricycle.
Okay.
And 15 minutes is about the most I can do.
Okay.
So I finish the ride and my body's tired, but I'm looking at my tracker and going, oh, you only went 12 minutes. Oh, you only burned these many calories. Oh, your heart rate was only. And like today, the weather is cold. My legs are tired. I decided not to go for a ride. And I'm like, beat myself up for that.
So what is your tracker? What tracker are you using?
I use an Apple Watch. And then.
Okay. And so do you have specific goals? Are you trying to hit certain metrics? Or when you say it's not good enough?
I guess I'm comparing it to other workouts. I'm comparing, just the overall results. And I think the comparison is really stealing the joy away from what I'm doing, because I'm telling myself it's not enough time. I didn't burn enough calories.
All right, why are you exercising?
I'm exercising because I want my mobility back.
Okay, so what does that have to do with how many calories you've burned?
Absolutely nothing, especially since I'm not counting calories.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
But so I think I feel like, especially not being someone who's exercised, I always feel like I'm not doing enough. I should do more.
Does this only show up with exercise, or does this show up in other areas of your life?
It's mostly with exercise. I've worked through a lot of other stuff.
Okay.
And I see how I'm thinking about myself with exercise is taking me down a similar road that I went down with the binge eating and with my weight and everything, where I'm thinking negative.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's what's beautiful. Number one, you can see it. You're like, oh, wait a second. This doesn't feel good. This is kind of sucking the joy out of it. I see when I'm comparing, I see when I'm thinking it's not enough. Like, I don't like the way that this feels. So that is a huge indicator. An awareness, it's an indicator of the work that you've already been doing. So I always talk about awareness is always the first step. The very first step to change is awareness. You have to become aware of whatever's going on before we can change anything. So you are already saying, I am aware that the way that I'm thinking about this exercise does not make me feel good. And I can also see this is kind of taking me down a road that feels kind of familiar to what I used to do with my binge eating. And I don't really like that either. So amazing, because we can see it. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, whenever we say to ourselves, it's not enough, this isn't enough, it's either it's not enough or it's not good enough. The first question is like, do you have it? A lot of times we don't even have an idea of what enough would be.
Yeah, I don't, you know, you read articles and it'll tell you how long you should work out. And if you dig deeper, you can find out, you know, oh, you should be in this heart rate zone for this long for a benefit.
And is this an article for Karen who had a car accident and 7 years of physical therapy and is just starting to ride a tricycle and has not done much physical exercise in her life?
No, because nobody publishes those articles.
Right. That's exactly right. This is the problem. This is like we're looking to somebody else to tell us, what should I do? How should I exercise? What heart rate should I be at? How many minutes are enough? Like, what is okay? Instead of our bodies, instead of like, okay. Like, and you're even saying, like, you have this indicator that, like, oh, yeah, okay, after we're like, it feels pretty good, and then I'm tired. That's a great place to actually say, okay, could I go another minute or two? Maybe not. How far did I go yesterday? Maybe I'm too tired today. Maybe 2 days ago. Maybe what I want to do is just increase just a little bit. You know, Corinne loves talking about 1%, right? We want 1% changes. So 1%, like, okay, if I went 12 minutes last time, maybe I can go 12 and a half minutes the next time. Maybe I could go 13 minutes. Maybe by the end of the month, I'm up to 20 minutes. And the reality is by the end of the month, you may be way beyond that. But if you just give yourself these little incremental gains, that spoiler alert, nobody is going to think is enough. But they're doable and you do them and you repeat them over and over and over again. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I actually want to do more. I feel good. I've built up my tolerance. I've built up my endurance.
Yeah.
It sounds like you are getting the feedback from your body, but what you're doing is you're saying, yeah, body, you don't know. It's not exactly enough.
Like, yeah, you know, today I felt good in the morning, but the weather is lousy and I feel like I'm making excuses.
Well, so here's where this is important. It's important to know whether you're making an excuse or whether you are really listening to your body and the wisdom of your body. Only you can know that.
I'm trying to decide if my body is wise. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking, okay, how do I know what's enough? Is enough when I can barely move tomorrow?
No, that's too much. You know it's enough when you can repeat it again the next day and the next day and the next day. We're looking for sustainable changes, changes that you can do, you can see yourself doing for the rest of your life. Here's what we know that you have a history of doing. Okay, I'm either going to do it all or I'm going to do nothing. I'm either going to, you know, be like not eating any of the things, or I'm going to eat all of the things. Mm-hmm. We do not want to take this approach with exercise. Your body will not be happy if you take the approach of, I'm either doing all of this or I'm going to do so much. I'm going to force myself to close all my circles or to hit whatever this article said, written by some person who's probably never had a weight or a chronic pain issue in their life. I'm going to follow what they say. Right? So it's like we need to do, it's so important to know about the value of movement. Your blood, getting your blood flow, you know, if you want to have a minimum, okay, I do want to spend however many minutes a day doing some sort of movement, whether it's outside, whether it's my tricycle, whether it's chair yoga, I want to do something. That's amazing. But doing it past the point where my body says, ooh, this doesn't feel so good, I'm really tired, especially in the beginning when you're creating consistency and creating habits, I would much rather you do a little bit every single day than do a lot one day, be miserable and can't get out of bed for 3 days, then try to go do a lot, then you're just going to be on the seesaw, which looks so much like the binge eating, restrict binge cycle, right?
Yeah. And even now I'm still going, I don't know when my body's had enough. And I say it, but I'm thinking, again, it goes back to, I feel like I don't know if I'm saying, is it enough or am I making an excuse? And it seems like it's not until I overdo it that I go, okay, it wasn't an excuse.
So there's your answer. It sounds like it generally is not an excuse. It sounds like, and it sounds like this really, you can really tune in when you actually are doing the thing, when you are already going and when you are moving.
Yeah, it's I have a real hard time rest and recovery. And again, it goes to self-judgment of, I should be bouncing back. I should be feeling better. It's been 24 hours. My legs should feel fine. All my muscles should have recovered by now.
So I know that Susie Hatley is going to be doing a guest teaching this month, which is going to be amazing, talking about pain and possibility. Everything that she has to say is, she is amazing. So definitely tune in with very open ears when she does her guest teaching. She's incredible. But there also is, you just said, it's so important for everybody to know their patterns. You just said, you know, it's like, I don't really know if it's an excuse until I've pushed myself too far. And then I'm like, oh, that wasn't an excuse. Okay, we know that's your pattern. Your pattern is, you are likely going to be pushing yourself too far. Coming from the, it's not enough. I think your, what could be fun for you to experiment with is finding sufficiency. Finding sufficiency, and it is enough. 10 minutes is enough. What if I just did 10 minutes every day? I may not feel like it. I may be in pain. I can find something I can do for myself 10 minutes a day, even if it's yoga sitting in my chair. And I can experiment with, okay, what would I like to do for 10 minutes today? What sounds good? What sounds interesting? Whether it's the weather, whether it's how my body's feeling, whether it's I want to get out of the chair, whether it's I want to do whatever. If I get to 10 minutes, I'm just going to check in. I'm going to say, all right, Bonnie, what do you think? Could we go another five? Or are we good? Let your body tell you.
Yeah, I need practice on listening to it because.
And it's new. This is a new skill. It's a new skill. You are literally learning a new skill. And you know that your old shitty is, it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not good enough.
Yeah.
So again, here's the theme. Here's the theme of our call. We want to find sufficiency. What is enough? Let's decide what enough is. Find enough in what you're doing now, because push, it's just like the last caller, right? With Carrie, it's like, find enough in your body now, because if we don't find enough in what you're doing now, it's always going to feel like it's not enough. It's always going to feel like you should be doing more. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. Nobody wants to live from a place of it's not enough. And guess what? It's such a common thought pattern for those of us who binge. It's not enough, not enough time, not enough to eat, not enough whatever. And then what do? How do we respond to our not enough thoughts? We eat too much. It's like the counterbalance to the not enough thoughts. We want to find sufficiency in where we are today. Find sufficiency in your body. Find sufficiency in what you are doing to move your body. Find sufficiency in what you're eating. find sufficiency in going to eat fast food, find sufficiency today. And if you put your brain to work on it, it will find it. Your brain is so used to finding what is not good, what's not right, what's not enough.
Yeah. Even when you're saying 10 minutes in my head, I'm going, not enough. That's nothing.
Yeah. Right. But tell me this. Have you been moving, exercising 10 minutes a day consistently?
No.
Yeah. So let's start with 10 minutes.
20 minutes to a half hour, three times a week.
So let's start with 10 minutes a day. If you want to add more, you can.
Okay.
I mean, if you think it's not enough, like let's just test it. What if it is enough?
And I think sounds I super, need.
Sounds super easy, doable, right?
Forgiving my, well, I shouldn't even have to think of it as forgiving my body when it needs rest. Because
it's honoring your body.
Failure, like, you know, stupid body.
It's honoring your body when it needs rest. You're learning to listen to communicate with your body, to honor your body. You're so used to like pushing through or disconnecting or getting away from it. It's like, no, we're working with each other now. This is part of it, regular movement, working with your body, communicating with your body.
Yeah, I have a lot to practice.
Yeah, yes. And this is all part of the journey, right? It's all part of the journey.
I mean, I appreciate that I've learned so much and you've helped me with the head work, trying to figure it out that it's popping up. I'm recognizing it. I don't know how to solve it most of the time. But
the awareness is always the first step. And so for everybody listening, just become aware when you start thinking it's not enough. It's not enough. I haven't done enough. Whatever. Start being just hear it and then look for the sufficiency. Where is it enough? What if it really was enough? What if this was enough?
Well, and I have to remember that it's for me. It's not enough for anybody else, it's enough for me.
It's always for you, always. Yes. And it's not what anybody else thinks you should do or what anybody else said or any outside anything. Even me telling you 10 minutes a day, that is a suggestion. If that does not resonate with you, if you don't like it, pick your own. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Ms. Karen. Thank you. All right. Okay. All right, we have a few more minutes. Let's answer a few more questions. So Kristen asks, my weight goes up when I am sore from working out. Any tips for supplements or things that can help prevent this? No, because it's actually how, that's how it works. So when you lift weights, your weight and you lift weight that is heavy, like a heavy resistance, what happens is you get these little micro tears in your muscles. And then the muscles, as they repair and they rebuild, they need more kind of fluid and stuff to rebuild so that they can get stronger and that they can get bigger. And so a lot of people end up gaining weight, having additional weight after they lift. It's kind of just part of how the body works. So we do not need to like try to change science, change anything else. It's just kind of part of the way that it works. Okay. How do you build emotional resiliency? I go to places where I just want to go away with food. So emotional resiliency is it's definitely a practice, expanding, like being, increasing the ability, your ability to be with different emotions, to be with emotions is, I call it your emotional capacity. So this is something that you can build over time. It's really the way that you do it is in being with your emotions more often. So it's sitting with your emotions. You want to go through within No BS. There is, you can learn about being with your emotions, how to allow your emotions, and what you want to do. Literally, it's practice. So it's, you can consider it like exercise, like you're going to the gym. Like we go to the gym to like build weights, right? I think about emotional resiliency as like, it's like you're going to the internal gym. You're getting ready to be, the more you can practice being with the bigger emotions, the emotions you want to escape, it's like you literally are building that emotional resilience. So that's kind of the way that that I think about it. Okay, so Kimberly says, I'm so frustrated with my body. I am very overweight and my mobility is a challenge. I cannot walk for no more than 10 minutes, then I'm in pain. I can't get out of my head. I should do more, but the pain in my back is horrible. So I'm so glad you said this, Kimberly. And definitely Susie's teaching is going to be amazing. Make sure that you tune in. I don't have the date and the information on it, but it will be on the calendar. Definitely attend Susie's workshop on pain. But here's the first thing that I want to say to you is, it was starting with, you're saying, I'm so frustrated with my body. When you approach your relationship with your body with a feeling of frustration, you're likely going to show up in ways that are not going to potentially be very nice and welcoming to your body. So when you start with frustration, you're likely going to be forcing yourself. You're going to be thinking your body should be doing something different. It should be capable of more than it is. But here's what we have to start with: where your body is right now. Your body does have pain. Your body, you do have mobility challenges. So what we want to do is, rather than being frustrated with it, how can you meet yourself where you are? It's like, okay, I know I want to move. Mobility is gained by increasing our movement. We don't get more mobility by doing less movement. So we know that if we want to increase our mobility, there is going to need to be movement there. But we don't want to do movement that is going to be counterintuitive, that is going to create more pain or more discomfort for us. So part of this is going to be finding ways that you can work on increasing your mobility that are also working with the limitations that you have. So we don't ever want to do something that is like going to go against what our body needs in the moment. So it's like, if I'm injured, going out and trying to do something that might prolong the injury in the long term is not going to benefit. So when you're saying like, I think I need to work harder, I need to do more, but then I end up in pain because I'm trying to push myself through. We don't want to push ourselves through anything. It's just like when, even with food, like when we're really hungry, right? Like you don't want to push yourself. You don't want to force through anything. You want to be open and gently work with yourself. There may be discomfort when you move. As you learn, as you gain mobility back, there may be some discomfort involved. But what we need to do is open up to what that looks like. Just like even with hunger, right? Like some of us, instead of fighting and resisting our hunger, sometimes we need to just kind of open up like, yeah, hunger may be a part of my experience right now. But if I open up to it, instead of hating it, fighting it, wishing it would go away, or thinking I can't handle it, I'm going to have a very different relationship with it. So part of it is going to be that relationship with your body, that relationship with pain, what you decide you want to do in order to increase your mobility. There are so many amazing possibilities out there to increase mobility, to increase your movement in ways that will work with any limitation you have in your body. So I really encourage you. I know Susie is going to have a lot to say on this. She is so talented and so amazing in this area. So I highly recommend that you guys check her out. And that is what I have for you. So I'm so glad that you all joined me. If you are not yet in the Binge Support Group Facebook subgroup, be sure to join us there. Coach Betsy will put it in the chat. It will also be in the call notes. And otherwise, I will see you guys next month for the binge call. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.